Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I listened to this guy on a train ride home one time, and I was texting. Remember, I was texting all the different lyrics. I was like, this is...
Yo.
The lyrics are
ridiculous.
If he get
home, he called Keisha. Keisha know how to fade him.
That's right. He goes through the different girls, right?
If I need something to eat, I call Keisha.
You got to hear that song. What's this guy's name again?
King
George.
King George, yeah. It's on YouTube, basically, right?
No. No, he's a real artist. He got albums on albums.
But
No.
YouTube is where you found him, though, right? Didn't you? You sent me the link to YouTube. Then I went to Apple Music and found him on Apple Music.
Yeah. I think Gilly was listening to him for Million Dollars Gang. Shout out to those dudes. I talked to them like last week.
Yeah.
And Wallow. And then it's like one of those things people be covering stuff with, but it's dope.
800-919-3776. Of course, is the number. We'll get back to calls and whatnot.
You can tell morale was low. I was low. Jake knew exactly what
you started out the show fighting everybody. Yeah. We got to get back into that conversation, see if anybody else wants all that smoke. But you know what, Bart? It is our number three. It is Bart and Han. What day is it? I've lost track. Is it Thursday already?
Thirsty Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday.
You know what I'm saying? You loser, you got to get one when we got to get three. Thirsty Thursday. Slide into them DMs, man. Shoot your shot, player.
Shoot your shot.
If I was a single man, like if I really wanted to be like bold, you got to shoot your shot. But women love when you shoot your shot in public. So you can't slide into the DMs. You got to go to her comment page where everybody see who said it and when they said it.
See, it's funny,
that's
when
how you
said
shoot your
do
real
it in
shot.
Public, I thought you actually meant like literally.
Man, you can't find where you don't know where these people are. How you just going to pull up on a date if you look like a stalker? Now you're going to get maced with the bear spray and get tased. No, what I'm saying is, instead of sliding into the DMs when you're on Instagram, leave a comment that everybody sees because the comment goes right there. You slide in the DM, she'll never see it. Like, you slide it there where everybody, like, yo, you see this dude? Then they're going to click on the thing like, oh, he all right. Oh, okay. You know what? That's bold, because when you saying that you just want to holler at them and you letting everybody know that you holler at them, you're not hiding and sneaking to the DMs and making it a secret. You shooting your shot publicly.
You know who did that?
Who?
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Did he?
Center of the Knicks. I think they're married. I'm going to say wife or fiance, whatever it is. She was an Instagram model, or is, and has tons and tons of followers. And he's just like some dude, you know, I think he was with the Rockets at the time, like just kind of playing, but didn't have like a big career.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in the comments, just admiration.
Straight to comments.
She checked out the profile.
He was verified.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know
what?
And
then all of a sudden, next thing you know.
She's like, I can groom you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I hope she got her own career and stuff like that.
She does. Yeah, she does.
I just don't want.
No, she was established before he was.
I'm saying, just don't take. I hope she got a business and her own bread. Don't just, you know, be stepping out there and she just got buns.
I don't know.
You got to offer more than buns.
I don't know the whole detail. I'm just saying, like, he did that.
So you're saying proof the concept works.
Worked. Absolutely right.
See, shoot your shot publicly. Be a man about yours. You can't slide into the DMs and be sneaky.
Yeah.
You know how many people are in their DMs? If you bold, be bold. Like, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's whack, you know, sliding the DMs. Slide into the comments. Like, yo, you, me, whatever, wherever you at, it
it's
don't
not
matter.
Not even slide into comments. Step in.
Yeah. And it,
with
don't
your
even,
chest out.
And it don't even matter. Like, her girls, you don't get enough attention from her girl. Like, dang, okay, I'll give him a shot. That's bold. He ain't
but you know what,
hide.
Though? What if your profile, though, it's like, you know, Dog Abby or bro, something else? Like, you got to make sure that whatever your profile picture is on point, right? Like, not something.
Well, listen, first she going to start and probably go on your social media, but then she going to Google you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, of course. She going to Google you, find all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Find your old.
But most regular people aren't really Google-able, right? Like, regular, but what regular people are on Google? Like, with any kind of, like, what are you doing?
You can find their other social media, their Twitter and all that stuff.
Well, that's different, what you're saying on social media.
That's what your job do. Whether you believe it or not.
No, that's true.
That's what your job doing.
Yeah, they're going to find anything they can find that about you. And these days, no doubt about that.
Exactly.
All right, it's hour number three.
Mm.
We got lots to do, man. I got to tell you about the Yankees and why there's some information that tells me that there's no excuse when it comes to the pursuit of Shohei Ohtani. But also some information about how he won't be available till next winter.
Mm.
Yeah. Before we get to all that, though, Bart, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean?
It's the power hour.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
So glad.
Ow! Oh. Ow! 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 Hit Allen with the pump fake.
I'm done. All right, you good now?
Ow! No. Ow! No, I'm just,
is that it?
Yeah.
Or is there more?
No.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you finished or are you done?
So Forbes has their valuations out for Major League Baseball teams. And at the very top of the list are the New York Yankees. And the Yankees are valued at $7.1 billion, the highest valued baseball franchise. They have a one-year change of 18%.
What changed 18%? It's a TV deal? 18%. Yeah. Is it yes?
Percent. That's a big number. The Dodgers are number two in valuations, according to Forbes. Number two, most valued. So the Yankees are, again, the biggest brand in the sport at $7.1 billion. The Dodgers also had an 18% change from last year. Their valuation, 4.8.
Where's the Mets?
Hang on. 4.8.
Yeah,
the Yankees are 7.1.
That's a big disparity.
So we're not talking about like the two richest.
Talking about almost
Yankees
double.
Are
almost double.
By far.
Almost double.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Round up one. Come on, one more billion. What are we talking about? We're talking about
billions. Just a billion. What are we talking about? The Red Sox right behind the Dodgers at 4.5. They had 15%.
Is that a horrible stadium? Do they have a good TV network?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good TV network. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and a huge following.
They probably go up to Canada. You know what I'm saying? You're in Montreal.
It's all of New England, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're in Montreal, you're in Montreal.
They're not just in Boston. They're all in the whole area. All right. Chicago Cubs are number four.
Chicago?
Yeah. The Cubbies are 4.1.
Hold on. What the hell the Mets at, son?
I'm getting, let's see, scrolling. Nope.
Jeez.
Number five.
You better not say the Tigers.
San Francisco Giants. 3.7.
Is that
billion.
Real estate?
What?
Is it real estate? Like, it seems like all these coastal.
And they only had a 6% change. All right. So then we get to number six, the New York Mets.
Okay. All right.
We got 1 year change of 9%.
We got work to do.
And they're at 2.9 billion.
You got work to do.
Operating loss, it says, of minus 138.5. That's a lot of money.
Million?
Yeah. Why are they at an operating loss?
Is it the luxury tax?
It could be a lot of things. Yeah, it might. I don't know. It could be a lot of things. Remember, he spent a ton of money this past year.
It could be that big scoreboard they put out there.
You got to see this scoreboard.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I think the Mets next year, when we sitting at this time
next
year.
You think they'll be a higher valuation?
And then when they sign Ohtani.
That scoreboard is, you got to see it. Mets fans, I'm telling you, when you see this scoreboard.
It's going to change your experience.
And the one video that they shared with Mario Kart, that's cute. I'm telling you, my boy Johnny sent me. He's working on this thing.
Is it bigger than the Dallas Cowboys screen?
Yes, it's bigger than. How about this?
Bigger than the field.
The entire scoreboard that you know with all the ads on it, gone. The whole thing is now a matrix board.
All screen.
All of it. They can do whatever they want on it. They can do ads on it, or they can do one big. Understand that scoreboard is higher than the upper deck. That's how big this freaking thing is.
So it's two stories, three stories.
And by the way, it's double sided. So on the other side, the parking lot side, is a scoreboard.
And then you can put it on that side, and if that can be seen by the expressway, then now you put
it. No, that's not the expressway. I believe that faces what is that area called there? You know, with all the...
Flushing.
Is that Willis Point, but I'm saying, what do they call that? They have a nickname for that area. It's got all the
but here's
the car wreck places.
But here's the reality, though. Like, if it can be seen visibly, then you can put ads there that run.
Chop shops and all. I don't know if they're.
Yeah, but it also run. It can also run and be advertised on the flip side.
All of it.
As people, you think about, events
I'm
and stuff coming
you,
up.
Fans need to see this because you're going to think, like, I have scoreboard, whatever. Then you're going to go to the game.
So you really.
And then, especially at night, you're going to go to the game and then you're going to see this thing and they're going to put replays on it. You're going to be like, oh my God. Like, it's. Huge.
So are
and
you,
it's gorgeous.
Are you ready to say that Citi Field is better than Yankee Stadium?
Citi Field was way so much better built than Yankee Stadium.
Gotcha.
Yankee Stadium looks like Yankee Stadium.
The
you know what I mean?
One, like the old one.
Like, and that's and you love that?
Yeah, keep the history.
But as far as like feel?
Yeah.
Yeah, Citi just has a better.
Who has the best food?
It's a great question.
Ask the fans, because I'm sure we have fans.
Well, you know that there's a – I need the Aaron Judge burger.
Judge burger? Don't judge me.
Can we judge the Judge burger?
Yeah, can we judge?
By the way, after the Mets, the Angels, who went up 23%.
Because Shohei Ohtani.
2.7, Bill. Just going to the top 10 here. Braves are 8, 2.6. Phillies are 9 at 2.575.
Sounds like –
And then the Cardinals are 10. That makes sense.
But the common theme, it seems like these are the major market. We haven't got to a Texas team yet. This seems like the major team.
Yeah,
TV.
Texas Rangers would be 12. Houston Astros are 11. Seattle's 13. Toronto's 14. I'd be surprised at that. Why the Chicago White Sox 15? That's brutal.
Yeah, that's like the Met. There's a bigger discrepancy between the
Cubs
Yankees
and the
Mets.
Oh, absolutely.
Yankees.
Nationals at 16.
See, the Nationals get smashed.
Padres 17. All the money they spend, and the Padres are 17, operating at a $55.2 million loss.
See, I understand the Nationals because the Nationals get ate up because right down the street you have the Orioles.
Well, the Orioles are 18. They're below the Nationals.
Yeah, but I'm saying
another shoestring budget.
But what I'm saying is they steal from each other because the market is so small. Mm. Because you got Philadelphia right there, then you got the Orioles, and so now like you split up the fan base in the market.
Let's just finish it up. 19 Brewers, Rockies, Tigers are 21. That's your team.
That's disrespectful.
Twins 22, Diamondbacks, Pirates 24.
Can I guess the last?
Guardians, Rays, Royals.
I was gonna go Royals for last just for stash.
Reds. A's, and the very last team at a valuation of $1 billion.
Damn, they like, please do not take my project.
The Marlins.
I guess Project Wolverine wasn't so good.
The Jeets, yeah. So I want you to listen to something that our good friend Buster Olney had to say on Get Up about Shohei Ohtani, because as we talked about yesterday, is the New York teams should do whatever it takes to get him, right? Should be all in on him. And if the Angels somehow are not competitive this year, the Angels, if they're smart, would use the July trade deadline as the opportunity to probably get a boatload in return for him if he's going to head into free agency. But Buster said not so fast.
Yes, it's going to be the year of Ohtani. There's no doubt about it. Think about it. In the WBC, he had the hardest hit ball, 118 miles an hour. He had the hardest pitch ball, 102 miles per hour. And yes, I think the Angels will keep him throughout the year. Their owner, Artie Moreno, is on the record as saying, if we're competing, we're going to keep him, and then he'll become a free agent. And Brian, the question at that point is the offer that he signs start with the number 5 or start with the number 6? $500 million plus, $600 million plus. I think it's going to be $600 million plus because there's nobody else in baseball that can do what he can do, that can replicate his production, replicate his marketability. We're going to be talking about him through the trade deadline. We're going to be talking about him going into the offseason and all the way through free agency. Mets, Dodgers, maybe the Yankees, maybe the Mariners, and the Angels trying to keep him. It's going to have enormous bidding for the best player in the world.
You know, this is going to be a story that carries throughout the whole season, right? Mm-hmm. And if he's throwing over 100 miles an hour in March, the other thing that everybody's going to watch is to see, does he physically hold up this season? You have to watch that as well. Does he physically hold up this season? Because if he doesn't for some reason, the next time around, Japan, you know, is going to be playing in the WBC.
Yeah.
Whoever gives him the $600 million, yeah, you're not playing in that. You know that's got to come, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So whatever he did this year,
you
can't expect that to happen again.
Bro, you won it. It's over with. Yeah. You got nothing else to prove. It's time for the younger generation. I see if you came up short. You won it, bro.
But you know what'll happen, though, of course, is like the country will, you know, the guilt trip thing that a lot of players have to deal with.
I brought you the championship.
And $600 million.
Now it's time for the next Japanese star to come in and do it for you.
Is it that overwhelming to think that a player is going to earn $60 million a year? When you consider that quarterbacks that
Aaron Rodgers making 50.
NBA players are already getting over 50.
And he counts for two positions. So he should get paid what two players
If anybody's going to be the first to crack the $50 million a year, it should be Ohtani.
I mean, we've already done it in football. And you play way more games, which means you should get more revenue. Like for your home games, you got 80 home games. Yep. You're gonna sell tickets to 80 home games.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we talking about?
That's right.
And people are gonna buy boxes and suites just because of him, just for the fact to see him.
I wonder if
he's a traveling circus, so to speak.
Well, I was gonna say that. I wonder how the box office will be affected after this performance in the WBC, when the Angels are on the road, and you can look ahead and see what game he might be pitching on the road. I wonder if there'll be an increase in ticket sales in certain markets and certain places, right?
Of course.
I wonder if that, like you should, if I'm his agent, I'm watching all that stuff. You watch all that stuff. Because I still say, like Aaron Judge, I said it last year, his value to baseball is something that you have to consider when you're paying him. His value to the Yankees is one thing, but his value to the sport, there's something about that as well. His value to the sport in a big market is also important. And baseball is getting no bang for their buck out of Mike Trout, who everybody believes is arguably the best position player in the sport.
Most empty stats in the world.
But you can see, everybody stopped trying to promote him as a star. They stopped because he's not marketable. He doesn't want to be promoted. He's kind of boring.
He doesn't care about the game.
And clearly doesn't care about winning. Yeah.
He don't care about like putting it on display. He don't care. He
put on a show.
Yeah, we never really seen him in high leverage spots. Wherever he got out with it one time, he was in the postseason, got bounced.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing to see here. So
you see how everybody's moving on. They're always talking about the next guy, Julio Rodriguez. Who's the next guy?
On his team, Soto. You got guys like Soto.
And it doesn't bother him. Like, you know how some stars also like, he's the next star? You forget about me? Like, you know how you get that? Like LeBron. LeBron is just still obsessed with it. And yet Trout just seems to be like, yeah, that's cool. You go ahead and get all that shine.
Oh.
I already got my $450 million. I'm good. I'll just stay here in Anaheim.
I told you, everything changed when I saw that he didn't go back to play for his hometown team. That was a better baseball team than his actual current team, had the ability to pay him the same type of money and for him to be – that's a lot of scrutiny, right? You talk about how hard it is to play in places like New York, Boston, and Philadelphia in the baseball world is, you know, in any sport. Mm-hmm. You know, Philadelphia market is just as hard and critical as the New York market.
800-919-3776 is the number. All right, we'll get back to your calls. Coming up also, we have to get back into a conversation that Bart was having earlier, and the callers were calling in, and the sparks were flying. Because I know all you Jets fans are worried about the wait for Aaron Rodgers, and why isn't a deal done yet? Joe Douglas might have made some moves yesterday that it moved the Jets closer to getting a deal done, but panic mode has set in already among Jets fans. And Bart's here to explain to you why it is time to just chill. Do exactly what Aaron Rodgers would tell you to do. It's a very simple concept. It's one that he believes in. It's one that you need to also buy into right now.
R-E-L-A-X.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So we started the day with this yesterday after the show. Like, I guess it was late in the show, we got word that the Jets were trading for Mecole Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
Signing him, one-year deal. And then after the show, because we were asking, what does this mean for Elijah Moore? You thought, well, maybe that you are going to put him in the trade. But then it turns out they end up trading Elijah Moore to the Cleveland Browns. They get back a second-round pick in the deal, and now it gives them pick 42 and 43 overall in this coming draft, which obviously is more assets that you could potentially then flip to the Packers to get an Aaron Rodgers deal done. And you're saying that there is no way you are giving up the Jets' first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers. So 13 overall, you're saying, pry it from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, that's sacred. That's sacred. I mean, if you want to talk about a future 24 pick, we can give you a second this year. We can give you a second next year. That can be a first. If, you know, we go to the Super Bowl, it stays a second. You know what I mean? If Aaron Rodgers, maybe it goes up if Aaron Rodgers stays with us, because I don't really care about next year's first, because I'm assuming that, you know, we're going to be in the postseason. It's going to be in the low 20s, which is basically a second-round pick anyway. Then cool. But, you know, for all the people out there that are saying, oh, well, you know, 13, what are you going to get for 13? Laremy Tunsil, 13. Rashawn Slater, 13. Vera Tucker, 14. Those are franchise linemen. Those are 15-year solutions to problems. And last I checked, you have Dwayne Brown. You're depending on, you don't have George Fant anymore. Max Mitchell's coming back from blood clots. Mekhi Becton hasn't been healthy in 2 years. Dwayne Brown's coming back from double shoulder surgery. If you want to be able to win in this league, we've seen games and teams' futures being wrecked by pass rushers dominating from the blind side. So I want to make sure, listen, Dwayne Brown, he barely lasted the entire year. He played with the arm harness. We thought we were going to lose him. He fought through that injury for an entire year. I can't bank on a 38-year-old staying healthy and put my Super Bowl futures on that. So if you want that pick, nah, you're not getting that because I need insurance. Because if Dwayne Brown goes down, my first move is to move Mekhi Becton to left tackle and move Max Mitchell, who played great at right tackle, to right tackle. Then if I lose Mekhi Becton, it's okay, let's see if I can slide Vera Tucker out there and see if I can have the draft pick play guard. Because remember, as great as Evan Neal was, he struggled last year, and it took him a long time. You know, so, like, I need as much insurance as I can get. And for all the people that are like, well, that could never happen. The Jets played 11 different linemen last year, mm-hmm. and they only had the same lineman group, same lineman only lined up for 5 games. That's why I need that type of insurance, because I can get all these weapons and get Odell Beckham, but if I can't, you know, get back there sometimes and burp the baby, then it's all for nothing. So hell no, you can take these seconds. If not, Aaron Rodgers, go ahead and report to camp and see how uncomfortable that is when you already. It's like when you already filed for divorce, but then y'all still living in the same house.
Are we
go do that?
When do we get into panic mode here? When do you get to a point?
I'm not panicking.
Where you understand? All right, this has gone too long. We've got to get this deal done for Aaron Rodgers. Give yourself a deadline?
I got soft deadlines and I got hard deadlines.
All right. Now, I'm not saying from the Packers side. We'll go to the Packers first.
Yeah.
In a minute. But soft, let's go to the Jets first.
Yeah, soft deadlines.
If you're Joe Douglas, there's got to be a point where you're like, all right, if this ain't getting done, I got to now change my focus to Lamar Jackson or something else.
Listen, I'm a play it all the way up to the draft. Because if we doing this deal after June 2nd, well, guess what? I got pick 42, pick 43, and 13. And then, you know what I'm saying? Who's to say that if that's the case, then I don't have to give you a first-round draft. I'll give you a first-round draft pick next year. Thank you. I'm about to get three great. Listen, what did he do last year? Elijah Moore was a second-round draft pick. We know he was a certified baller. Yeah, you had to get rid of him because eventually you ain't going to be able to pay him anyway. Breece Hall was a second-round draft pick. You mean to tell me I can get two Breeces or Elijah Moores and get me a left tackle? Man, crazy. I might take those two, go back up into the first round like you did for Vera Tucker, and go back and get me two balls.
Now, 42 and 43 packaged together can get you a 17th. That's the value there.
So if I'm the Jet, I might just say, hey, I'll take these two, and I'll take pick 13 and pick 17.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hell, I might just say, okay, let me go pick 15. I might say I got 13. I might say, okay, I'm a package pick 42 and 43, and I'm going to move up to 17. Then I'm going to call the Baltimore Ravens and ask if they want 2 first-round draft picks and give me Lamar Jackson. We'll call it a day.
So that's your next move. 2 first-rounds in this year's draft, if you can do it.
13 and 17?
So draft day, Rodgers is not done yet, and the Packers are still dug in, and you're like, I'm not giving up 13. I'm not doing it. But you're going to give up 13 and potentially another first by moving up your second. So now you don't have a draft in the first or second round. You have no picks in the first 2 rounds.
You have to give
Lamar Jackson $200+ million fully guaranteed.
Yeah, but
and you're doing that?
But that's Action Jackson.
So you're doing that. Why don't they just do that now?
And I don't need no lineman. Because I don't need no lineman if that's the case. Because the Ravens ain't going to do it but match it.
Do you think they still match? See, that's my problem. See, again, the leverage part of this whole thing, the leverage part of this conversation.
The Ravens know.
The Packers, see, let me just explain what I see on the Packers side.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Packers kind of know, all right, Aaron's already made it public. The Jets have made it public.
And we allowed them to talk to one team.
And that's it. And so we know they're married now, but it's not consummated yet. And it's up to us to get this done. And we can make – I want to get everything I can out of this, so I'm getting that 13th overall pick. And I'm going to wait it out until the Jets give up that pick, right? They control this. They think they have that leverage.
Or
the only leverage the Jets would have is if they turn around and say, if we don't get a deal done by the draft, then we're going to turn our attention to Lamar Jackson. The only problem with that is you don't control the Lamar Jackson situation, because you could give up the picks and you could say, we're going to sign Lamar to this much money, and the Ravens could go, we'll just match it.
Or
you just work out a trade, saying. Because once you trade him, the Ravens, they can't match. Right? Is that – no, I'm asking you a question. It's two first-round picks
different.
If they don't match, you have to give up two first-round picks. But if instead I trade two first-round picks, can you do that for a player that's franchised? Can you do that?
I don't know. I don't know if that's
because then they can't match.
We have to get Tannenbaum on the air for that one. Or guess what?
What?
I find somebody with 42 and 43, and I say, hey, let me get number 17. Whoever's that sitting at number 17 right now, I say, I'll give you these two picks. Then you take that two picks at 17. You take 17, and you call the Rams. And say, hey, man, give us Matthew Stafford, man. We'll give you pick number 17 for Matthew Stafford.
So you keep 13, move up to get like a 17, 18, whatever it is, and then call the Rams and try to get Matthew Stafford for that pick.
For 17.
And you think the Rams, who they lost Baker, though.
They lost everybody, man. Come on.
We all thought Baker was the guy that was going to, you know, be the next one if Matthew Stafford was ready to move on.
They're rebuilding. Who cares? They got rid of Ramsey,
yep.
Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're rebuilding. So guess what? They have no first round draft picks because of who? Matthew Stafford.
Right.
So here, I'll give you 17. And here, for farts and giggles, here's Corey Davis. I mean, 17. And the reason why
that can get done.
The reason why you give 17 up for Matthew Stafford is because he still has 3 to 4 years left in.
But the Rams would not have a quarterback.
They don't care. They're rebuilding. What do they have? Aaron Donald and who? And Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp, right.
They're rebuilding. Why do you think Sean McVay was allowing his assistants to go get other jobs?
Mm-hmm.
When you say F them picks, eventually you got to pay the credit card bill.
800-919-3776 is the number. Jason's in Baltimore. Jason, what do you got?
Hey, guys, what's going on? You couldn't be more right about the Jets needing offensive line depth. They just signed Wes Schweitzer from the Commanders, right. And then they just signed yesterday, they signed
from the
Tristan
Ravens,
Cologne,
yeah.
From the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, that's Tristan Cologne has been excellent. I mean, he's a great depth piece. He can switch from tackle to guard. I mean, they got a lot in him, in my opinion.
Yeah, they
got
to get a center. I believe that I would go to them. If I was them, I would go to Langton Thomas and say, you got to play center. You've been a good guard, but most guards can play center, and they've snapped in their life. Remember, Damon Woody came into the league as center. He was a center at Boston College, right. Played guard and tackle.
How much of that, though, is, again, Rodgers and the trust factor with a center? Like, that's always an important thing
It's a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah. No, like, Joe Douglas is focusing on the offensive line, and he should be.
You don't want to go with a rookie. Like, listen, they arguably, with Vera Tucker and Langton Thompson at guards, and if Mekhi Becton could be there, they potentially have like some outstanding.
No, you just need depth for insurance, because as we know throughout a season, your line is just going to get banged up. It happens.
Well, Max Mitchell is coming back. Yep. Herbert is coming back, right? They need
depth. They just added two, just mentioned.
Right. So they have the depth, but now they need primetime players too.
Of course.
So you got to go out there and get you the future in case Becton isn't the dude. If Becton gets hurt again, you're not picking up his fifth-year option. Mm-hmm. So you let him walk. So you need to draft his replacement.
800-919-3776. Continue with your calls. Jason in Pine Bush. Jason.
Hold on. What's up, boys? How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, thank you for always taking my call. I feel like Ira from Staten Island, bro. Like, it's fantastic. You make me feel great. I really do. And this is why, America, you should always listen to Bart and Han. This is ridiculous, man. This is what Bart just said right now. You just changed my whole entire phone call about getting those two number twos, trading up to 17, and those are the two picks that you offer Baltimore from a Lamar Jackson. I mean, I'm about to jump out my freaking window into the trampoline to do backflips, Bart, but that's not my point. Here's what I want to talk about, because now I'll call you tomorrow and ask you when I think about my question. Here's my point for Bart. Bart, this is important, and I need you to answer like a guy who you can only talk, like you can tell us, because you've been in locker rooms, the rest of us are fans, we don't know. Here's my concern as a lifelong diehard Jet fan. Aaron Rodgers is coming. You know he's a little surly. Now, we're also thinking about getting OBJ, which I think from a talent perspective would be good. My concern is that OBJ comes with Aaron Rodgers, and they start to change a little bit of the chemistry of the locker room, and it compromises this young core and talent, and they become a bunch of knuckleheads instead of a bunch of savages trying to get that chip. So, like, if I know Bart Scott's in the locker room, you're going to say, yo, boys, let me tell you how we're going to run this ship right here. But does this team have the cachet? Does this team have the cats to make sure that they're running a good locker room, that Aaron Rodgers, not so much him, but maybe OBJ might be kind of making a little too cool to be in that receiver room and changing the culture? Like, what do you think? Am I overthinking this, or are we good?
Well, you do have Bart Scott in that locker room. His name is C.J. Mosley, right? He's a guy that was born and bred the same place I came from. He's a guy that's accomplished a lot, four-time Pro Bowler. He's a guy that made that controversial decision to walk away from the Baltimore Ravens and come to New York, understanding the difficulty and understanding that they were a team that was trying to learn how to win. So he's already embraced the challenge. He didn't run away from it. You talk about people that are afraid of New York and afraid for a challenge. He came here when it wasn't popular to come here, right? He was one of the first free agents to say, you know what, I'll go play in New York and I'll handle it. So you have that type of leadership there, right? You talk about Dwayne Brown. This dude's a leader. He's an OG, man. He was an OG out there in Seattle for years. He dealt with the Richard Shermans of the world. He dealt with the Cam Chandlers of the world, the Bobby Wagners. He's entrenched in, I believe, into the leadership council when you consider the people there, right? So I don't worry about that, right? And I think it's a big misconception about OBJ and what he is as a person there. Listen, he's a guy that I believe has been humbled beyond, you know, repair. Like the fact that he gets an opportunity to land on his feet and come to a team that's trying to build something, but a team that also needs him if he comes here, right? Opposed to going to a place where he's just an add-on. He's a guy that, you know, and it's a dream for him too. He gets to come here and play with the quarterback that he's always dreamed about playing with. So I think, listen, Aaron Rodgers, for this scorched earth redemption tour to be complete, he needs to win something. So we ain't got time to be dealing with knucklehead stuff. We're about business at hand. Like, when you sign a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's a signal to everybody in the locker room that we're trying to win a championship. Mm-hmm. We ain't trying to go to the playoffs. And they, oh, playoffs or bust. You know, this just changes everything. It's not playoffs. Playoffs is the floor. Like, we're trying to get to the ceiling. So, no, I think they would come in, they would be laser focused about trying to get to the task at hand because they know they don't have a lot of time to do it.
There'll be a different kind of pressure and a good pressure. Yeah. And everybody there will understand exactly what the assignment is this season, and therefore I don't know if you'll have that kind of the distraction concern that some people might have.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So just thought you'd find this funny. As you remember, Aaron Rodgers did the whole lose my number thing to
mm-hmm.
Shefty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess Woj and company getting some heat from LeBron. So it was reported that LeBron is now working his way back after, you know, he had his injury, right? So Woj tweeted stuff about LeBron saying that a source says that LeBron James could play the final week of the regular season, which is great news, of course, for the Lakers, which I would think you would expect that he would be getting closer to coming back. LeBron decided to go to Twitter himself and say that there wasn't an evaluation today. He said, there hasn't been any target date for my return. I'm just working around the clock every day, three times a day, to give myself the best chance of coming back full strength, whatever that is. God bless y'all sources. And then he said, I speak for myself. I mean, can't we just let people live?
Please.
Like, you know that they're getting this stuff from credible people. And the Lakers want to get that out. And for you to just, I control my mind. Stop. You know how this whole thing works.
You're trying to act like you don't.
Like, it's as if this
so
is a
athlete.
Big.
Yes,
like, LeBron, come on. Like, that was not necessary. LeBron, like, they're just reporting that you're coming back. Let it go. I understand if it's something else that is a false report.
Yeah.
I get this. Like, come on. Let's not start doing this. We're trying to now, you know, take credibility away from some very credible people. Adam Schefter, Adrian Wojnarowski, others like that. They work very hard to make sure that they get information out to keep this machine going.
Yeah.
Because let's all understand,
your money, right.
this is an entertainment machine.
Yeah.
That's what this is. And they both play big roles in it. You start disparaging their credibility over semantics.
And you just break the news when you want to.
Stop.
You don't know how this works. Like, quit trying to be the media.
I don't like that.
It's a balance and a dance that athletes do with news. Without the news, without all stories getting out there, then people don't become inclined to root for us or hate us and all that type of stuff. It's all part of it.
Yes, exactly. And again,
he understands that. That's why he has his own thing to shop.
Right.
That sells what his agendas and people's agendas for going forward.
But listen, man, I understand you guys like to say I control my message as an athlete. Yes. I don't need reports and sources.
Okay, let's take
you need some
away.
Information, you'll get it from me. But when you control it, that means you control what you want out there.
And
I need to know what's really going on.
Exactly.
And to do that, I need sources. I need people with contacts like Woj, like Shefty.
You need people with accountability and credibility.
Well, the credibility, and that's what, again, Shefty and Woj and others. I'm just naming those two, but especially Shefty because he got called out by Rodgers. But I think most people, fans, would agree that while, sure, it's great that you want to control your message and, you know, a guy like LeBron or maybe even Bart Scott says, if you need to know something about me, come to me. I'm your source. I'll tell you, and I'll say, that's great, Bart. But some things you're not going to tell me.
You're not going to tell me, yeah. Exactly.
Some things you're going to either sugarcoat. Some things you're going to, like, you know,
downplay.
Massage a little bit, downplay. And some things you don't want out there. And part of this entertainment machine is to have things that make it interesting and compelling. And that might not be something you want people to know.
Yeah, only listening from news from the athlete is like listening to state TV.
That's a great point.
Brainwashed.
Well, yeah.
You need both sides of it.
Come to my podcast. I'll tell you what's real. Well, you'll tell me what you want me
exactly,
to know.
Exactly, what you think is real.
Like, that's the whole point.
And you talk about some of the most narcissistic people in the history of the world. Their world.
You tell me we're not getting really just completely authentic, raw information from these guys?
Both teams played hard.
Shocking. K-Show next, A-Rod at 4. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.